Today's scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 35 through 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The word of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, Happy New Year, everyone.
It's
been a couple weeks. Good to see you today. I hope the Christmas season brought some unexpected blessings your way, and that you are finding yourself renewed and filled with new passion for this new year that we're in. I can tell by looking at you. You're brimming with it. You're brimming with it. Good. Well, to help us all with that, Pastor Chris and I are launching a new sermon series this morning called The Passionate Jesus, a recipe for a wise and authentic life. And it's our hope that by looking closely at the way Jesus lived his life with passion and how he lived such an authentic life, we'll talk more about what that means, that you and I can also live with a deep passion and authenticity in the ways of our lives. I wonder, though, as we get started here, how many of you have made any New Year's resolutions? Anybody out there? One, two. There's a few. Okay. There's a few hopeful souls. I made a couple soft resolutions this year. That means, you know, you don't tell anybody about them, so that when you do fail, you don't feel too bad about it. But I think there's a reason we do that, okay? And it's not just because we want to lose a little weight or get in shape, but because, you know, I think we want to be the best version of ourselves. You know, I really think we do. I think it's human to want to improve our lives, and so we can make a difference. Well, our hope is that in the sermon series, it begins with this idea that we're on that kind of a journey. We, all of us, we're on a journey of transformation throughout the course of our lives. And in our Christian language, we say that we're always becoming fully the children of God, and that we do that by looking to the life of Jesus and understanding how he lived as a fully human person. And we imitate that life. We try to be like Jesus, as we say sometimes, in order to have a full life that's in terms of loving God and loving neighbor, even understanding ourselves. So let's look at what all of this means. The picture that's painted of Jesus in the gospel is one of him living with a great passion. And what I mean by that, he was fully engaged in life in so many ways. And I think, too, we see in his life an authenticity. And what that means is that there was a congruence, you know, between his inner life and outer life, how he was alone and how he was with people. There was a connection there. Integrity is the best word, integrity there. He lived with great passion and integrity. Now, the window we want to look at to understand this more deeply and look so we can understand ourselves better is we're going to look at some of the emotions Jesus displayed over the course of his life. Deb Jackson and Donna Probes made some nice banners for us, and we'll have those displayed. And, you know, some of these emotions that we feel, and that emotion certainly Jesus felt in his life, compassion, anger, fear, grief, joy, you know, Jesus experienced all of that. I will say as an aside that the book that Pastor Chris and I are using as kind of a springboard to get us going here, it's called The Passionate Jesus. And it's written by a Reverend Peter Wagner, an Episcopal priest. And I would just recommend it. Maybe you want to read along over the next 5 weeks and get more out of this time together. Reverend Wallace was... leader of the host of the nationally known Day One radio program. Maybe you've heard of that. I think it was called the Protestant Hour years ago, maybe. But and a writer as well as his work as priest. And I was reading an interview he had given about this book, and he was saying that he wrote this book not only to help others who love Jesus live authentically and passionately, but that he did it for himself as well. He talks about how he came out as a gay man over a decade ago, but only to a small group of family and friends. And that over the years he realized how he wasn't being an authentic person by, you know, not wanting to rock the boat about all of that. And began to be, and this book was part of his understanding, you know, to wanting to be more authentic and display his emotions and his feelings in a more full and complete way. Now, I share that story with you because I think we all go through times, we all go through turmoil, upheaval in our lives, and part of doing that well, okay, part of making our way through that, I think, is to be able to feel deeply, to embrace the full feeling of who we are, who God made us to be, and to do it passionately and authentically, to be authentic. And I think Jesus can teach us about that. So let's look at this. What do you think we mean when we talk about emotions? I think that's pretty obvious, I guess. But sometimes we probably use feelings more than emotions, don't we? We talk about feelings, our feelings, and we use those words interchangeably. I would say that emotions are probably the more primary or basic way to understand that, and a key way we respond to life, a key way along with intellect and sensory abilities, you know, and our physicality. I read the other day that researchers have figured out that there are 27 different categories of emotion that we experience. They did this study with like 800 men and women, and they exposed them to over 2,000 different video clips of emotionally evocative, you know, video, and then studied their responses to that and categorized their responses to that. And what they realized is that, you know, our emotional responses are so varied. It goes beyond the typical here, you know, to so much more of awkwardness and horror, nostalgia. I mean, you name it. It goes on and on. I say that to mention that, you know, we have quite a palette of emotional color, don't we, in our lives. We are complex people, or as the Bible says, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And part of that complexity is this broad array of emotions that happen at any given time. But here's what I want to say about that. Emotion in of itself is not good or bad. It just is. It's how we respond. But there are healthy ways to display emotion in unhealthy ways as well. You know, before I went into ministry, I was taught special education for a little while and emotionally impaired children. And the children that were in my classroom were there primarily not because they had, you know, some cognitive or intellectual problem or sensory problem, a health problem. They were there because they couldn't handle their emotions. Their emotions were overwhelming to them. And that made it impossible for them to be with other children and have other adults, you know, and have healthy relationships. And I remember one little guy, like it was yesterday, had been mistreated and abused for, you know, the whole of his short little life, to the point where, you know, emotions for him were like firecrackers going off, and they were just too much, and all he knew how to do was latch out to other people that he didn't trust. The ability to feel emotion in a healthy way, it's essential to happiness. Here's what the Bible says about that. You know, the Bible talks about this balance of it all. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. That how that together allows us to have peace in our lives and relationship with God and relationship with other people. We sense and we feel, heart, right? We think and we reason, mind. We listen to God. We go deeper, and that's soul. We respond and act. That's strength and will. Heart, soul, mind, and strength working together. But I will say this, you know, without passion and without healthy emotion, I think the rest of that, all of that kind of falls flat, because good emotions energize it all. Wouldn't you agree? You know, they add color to our lives, our personalities, And Jesus, he, you know, what he modeled for us is that good emotion leads to good action. You know, and they're key, that good emotion's a key ingredient in such a life. So pause for a moment and think about your own life. You know, who modeled healthy emotion for you? How was that modeled for you? How did you grow up learning that? I think I've been thinking about that last week as I was working on this message. What do you do well? How do you express that well? Where do you feel like you need to work on it a little bit? I think we all can think of that as well. Another way to say it is, how do you want to develop your EQ? We've heard of IQ, but EQ, emotional quotient, you know, or emotional intelligence, right? Where does that need to be grown so that we can connect better with God in life? You know, connecting this all then to God and our belief in God, we wonder some things. You know, one of the things I wondered about God as I got going here, does God have feelings? You know, do you ever think about that? Does God have emotions? Is God moved by emotions? You know, over time, some have thought that it's God's job to create and govern and guide, but that God doesn't get too, you know, feely about creation, doesn't have strong feelings one way or another about creation. Another way says that God does have emotions, not in the same way that you and I do, but God has emotions and can be moved to act by those emotions. You know, that when the Bible says God loves you, it means God really feels love for you. In the scriptures, God is said to feel the depth of emotion. We read stories, you know, God is angry sometimes. God is moved with pity or compassionate sometimes. God at other times rejoices over us and is pleased with us. Sometimes God is grieved and distressed. Sometimes God changes God's mind about us. I've even read a story where it says God is sorry God created us. And where God is said to have a broken heart over people who turned away. Now, let me say this too, because I think your mind may be going there. There are stories in the Bible where God kind of comes off as not being in very good control of feelings and emotion, right? Stories where God is so moved by anger that God kills some people, a group of people, or has his people kill that group of people. And I know we feel that that seems real inconsistent with other God in other places in the Bible, especially in Jesus. And so I kind of figure that out this way. I wonder if maybe sometime those ancient writers projected their own feelings toward their neighbors onto God in those cases, right? Where, you know, it's kind of easy to do that when you're fearful or angry to wish that for your enemy as well. Here's what I want you to know, though. God's not fickle. You know, God doesn't have mood swings. All right, God's emotions are for good for us. And while there's a lot of mystery about the nature of God, you know what Jews and Christians have declared? It is that God's relational. God is relational. God's passionate and cares and loves and takes sides of the poor and the oppressed. God woos us, calls us to join, and invites us to be passionate, live a passionate life also. And as Christians, we say Jesus is the epitome of this life. You know, the passion, the truest expression of God's heart for people. During the recent Christmas celebration, we celebrate what we call incarnation. Remember the celebration of the incarnation, God appearing in our world in Jesus, in our lives, in our flesh. God feeling in every way one can what it means to be human. C.S. Lewis wrote this about that. He said, you know, God could have been incarnate in a person of iron nerves, the stoic sort who lets no sigh escape. But of God's great humility, God chose to be incarnate in a person of delicate sensibilities. And I think what he means by that is deep feelings. Who wept at the grave of a friend, Lazarus, who sweated blood at Gethsemane. If he had only natural courage, it would have been for many of us as if the same as if he had not been incarnate at all. Now, it's an important part of our understanding who Jesus is, and then our own understanding as well of ourselves. This idea of the incarnation, God fully human, it's tough to grasp. You know, the Bible says God fully dwelt in him. He was in the form of God. He did not sin. Tell you what, I don't know about you, friends, but sometimes I struggle with all that and understanding that, and that's natural, and you do too. And I think it's okay to put that on the shelf for ongoing consideration, okay? But what I want you to know today, what I think is important today, is that you hold on to the human side of that equation. Hold on to the human side of that equation, because that's where we can begin to glimpse what it means that God was in Jesus, that God was in Jesus. Born a Jewish man of a Jewish woman, grew up like most children in that day, was taught what they were taught, made mistakes and learned from those mistakes, yelled when he hit his thumb in his father's carpentry shop, saw beauty in a young woman as a teenager, felt nervous the first time he read Torah in front of others, wrestled with who he was to be as a man, laughed with people others turned their noses up at, felt compassion toward those, as it says in the text today, who were helpless and harassed, got angry with those who cared more about money and position than people, wept at the graveside of a friend, experienced angst in the hours before his death and execution, felt abandoned in his hour of need. I think all of that is what's most important to get about Jesus. This is what makes him Savior, my friends. This is what makes him Lord to us. And I think, okay, we can begin to understand God from that side of things, from that side of things. And the word today is from the side of compassion, to be passionately with other people, feel what they feel, go through what they're going through, help them by entering their world. Jesus did that. He humbled himself to experience all of that with and for others. And that's what makes him still Savior today, because in his way, we find our way. His way, we find our way, that way of humble love. So over the next 5 weeks, I invite you to consider your own ability to be deeply human, to feel and to care. There's a few questions in your bulletin that you could use this week to work on that. Questions like, do I express my emotions in a way that would move my life closer to the image of Christ, closer to being like Jesus and his hope? In what ways do my emotions need to be transformed so that I may grow more purposeful in my walk with Jesus? Here's one for parents. Do I express my emotions in ways that teach my children and grandchildren a passion that's positive, emotions that are life-giving? Good questions for us. You know, how can we use our passion to be the presence of Christ in the world? How can we do that together as church as well? We'll consider that over the coming Sundays. Amen. Amen.